You are all weirdos.
Nerd science is the revolution. Nerd science is the revolution.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Weird Science Marvel Comics Podcast, episode 34. That is legacy number 534. I am here, as always, with my man, Matt. What up, Matt?
What up, Jim?
What up? What up? As we got three new number ones for this show, a start of a huge event.
Huge.
Huge event. And, you know, what should be a fun Deadpool Wolverine book and then a actual, you know, Frank Castle kind of Punisher book. More of a word journal type deal.
But yeah,
we'll be getting into all of those number ones. We'll see if they're actually number twos. But before, if we get into that, and spoiler, some of these are. It's not. these kind of are odd. We'll have our fun with them. But before we get into all of that, please check out all the places you can check us out. You can go to Twitter at WeirdScienceDC. Follow us. You follow, we'll follow you back. You can go to our website, WeirdScienceMarvelComics.com. If you don't agree with our reviews, I'm sure Sus Gade will be able to enthrall you with his takes. And then you could go to our YouTube channel, Weird Science Comics. And then finally, our Patreon, patreon.com/WeirdScience, where you can get a ton of exclusive shows, some early access to this show especially, comes out a bunch of days early. And a bunch of other things, but all those will be in the show notes. But as we do this, we are going to jump right into it because we have the big book, Blood Hunt number one. Now, there will be people who will tell us, and I am aware, I've seen the checklist, that the first book that you're supposed to read, I guess, is the Free Comic Book Day.
Yep.
It's not out yet.
Nope.
We're recording right now. It's not Free Comic Book Day yet. That'll be this coming up Saturday. So kind of out there. The next one says that Vengeance of the Moon Knight. That is actually the next on the checklist. I have read it. I may review it. I may come in and review it by the end of this, but so that we can tell people if they need to actually, you don't really need to read it. Basically, you get what is continuing the Shroud being the Moon Knight, and he kind of ends up getting the Dark Force at the end and makes a portal. We see that in this issue as well. So don't be fooled by that. But most people, if they are reading Blood Hunt, I think will already be reading The Vengeance of the Moon Knight. That is the big Jed MacKay book. The Moon Knight stuff is the Jed MacKay stuff. I don't know that there's somebody out there saying, I really like Jed MacKay, but the only thing I like was the Taskmaster mini, right? Or yeah, even, I mean, for me and you, we sit and talk about the Doctor Strange book, and we will continue to do it because it's going to tie into this Blood Hunt. Nobody ever talks to us about that. No. I think we're the only ones reading it at points. And then other things like The Avengers, which should be a big book. And I do see some people saying that they enjoy it, but not as many as you would think. It just doesn't feel like, right? Yeah, me and you both were reading it and we bailed on it. The bad part about it is we bailed on it for a reason that kind of shows up in this Blood Hunt.
Yeah, everything that all the reasons I bailed on it at least are showing up in this.
But here's where I'm going to tell people before I even give the credits to Blood Hunt. This event, if you are a Jed MacKay fan, don't get mad at us because this is an event for you. It's 100%. If you are a Jed MacKay fan, and I'm talking you like all the Jed MacKay books, you're in for a treat. Like, you probably will love this.
You'll be like, oh my God, it's finally paying it off.
Paying off. I can't believe
this
they're
is
bringing
the best
back
thing
the
I've ever read.
from the Moon Knight run. But if you are people like us who, I like Jed MacKay. I'm not going to say, I think he's a good writer. I think that this event, though, is showing that there aren't a lot of big writers at Marvel. They want to have an event. I think that the event here is pretty much a bean counter event. We had it even when they announced the new X-Men line, and Tom Brevoort came on and said, and somebody asked, are we going to have as many books? Are you going to? And he said, we're told we have to have the same amount of books that we had in the Krakoa era, because that is what's on the books. That's what's going. And I think that at this point, Marvel needs an event each year, each summer especially. And this is it. And I think they looked at the lay of the land. They think, okay, Jed MacKay, he does have some fans. But what he does have, in my mind, is more goodwill. Like, I don't hear, even if me and you are down on the Avengers, I'm even down on The Vengeance of the Moon Knight, where we're just getting therapy sessions. But I don't ever say, like, I don't like Jed MacKay. So he's a likable, actually, he kind of keeps out of everybody's way. And people do like him. So I think that it's that. He has goodwill. He has some fans, but he's also doing a bunch of books. So why not have him do Blood Hunt? And I hope that it's something that he can handle. And I would love for him to nail this and actually give us a huge, awesome event where then I will admit to people, yes, I think he's great. He's elevated all that. This first issue, though, had to hit. There's too many issues. It's like almost 60 plus issues, this event. And so when you get the number one of the main book, if it doesn't feel big, how are a tie-in for, how are they going to feel big? I just don't get it.
Well, what was that Thor event from a couple years ago that had like so many tie-ins? This has more than that, I think.
Yeah. War of the Realms.
Yeah. War of the Realms
was big. Then King in Black was really big.
This might be more.
Here's the thing. I'll tell you right now. I liked both of those. The problem with War of the Realms was just the one. It was overblown. I liked a lot of what we got from that. And I actually liked the King in Black deal. Even that, though, it felt stretched. But
well, it's diminishing returns for any of the tie-ins. But you're right. They have to do them. But like, you really could just read the main event, I'm sure.
I'm sure. And it's just how we're going to deal with it, because we have to decide what we're doing on the podcast.
Uh-huh.
You know, we only have a certain deal and a certain amount of books. Next week, just to give everybody the lay of the land, next week there's going to be 6 tie-ins. To this, it starts, and then you have 6, not even including the idea of a free comic book day that you could slip in to that as well. So that's it. Just seems too big, and I'm not going to lay that on the lap of Jed MacKay. I think that he's going to be doing his stuff. I think that the overall deal of making it so big is more a Marvel thing. But after reading this first issue, not that I could say by the end I'll feel the same, but right away in this, it feels like this should have been a Jed MacKay crossover event with the books that he's writing, Avengers, Moon Knight, and Doctor Strange. I think that it could have probably fell in that with a couple of tie-ins, but we'll see. We'll see. We'll get into it. I mean, that's a lot of talk before we start it, but Blood Hunt number 1 is written by Jed MacKay with art by Pepe Larraz, colors by Marty Garcia, and letters by VC's Corey Petit. And you start off with a weird device where you have this sun death and a countdown, but then it changes, and then you kind of see, but you're just being shown characters that are reacting, and we find out it's the Dark Force characters that are opening Dark Force portals. Now, in the meantime, in what I think isn't spelled out as well as it should, when you do get the sun death at the zero, but then continue after that for post-deal, which I don't think really any of the timing matters, but what it is pretty much a cloud, maybe like a cocoon going. It's like King in Black.
Exactly.
When King in Black started, you ended up having the whole world being engulfed in that symbiote cocoon.
Or
this looks like Dark Force magic. That
they did it in Spider Island too, where the covered up Manhattan with whatever.
Exactly. And this had, you have to do this because you want to have vampires. Not everybody's a daywalker. You need the vampires, so you block out the sun. And when they do that, at one point, might have been Thor, somebody does say, we only have a limited amount of time because the sun's blocked out, but it never matters. It never ends up becoming a thing that, all dying, the crops are dying. They're never going to get into that.
Yeah, if I don't see somebody wearing a winter coat, I'm going to be angry because it's going to be cold.
Exactly, and there's been times that I'll tell you, like, at one point around the time of the War of the Realms, and that... The moon cracked in half like 7 times. It never affected anybody. So you end up where all of these Dark Force users end up getting portals through the Dark Force dimension that seem to then make an explosion of Dark Force energy that, envelopes the world. And they're trying at first, the Avengers are trying to, and even the Midnight Mission, they're trying to figure out what they can do to possibly stop that. But while that ends up happening, they get attacked by vampires. Vampires show up. The attack is on. And at this point, it's not really, it doesn't feel like it has a lot of oomph, but you're going, okay, there's vampire apocalypse going on. Everybody's dying. You got a lot of people getting eaten. You do show around the world, but I didn't really get a big impactful feeling From it, you see Dr. Doom, and he's using some of his, you know, magic to protect Latveria.
Yeah, that was okay, I guess.
Yeah, he's okay. You end up seeing Miles there with Blade. He has that crazy
sword.
I hate that
lightsaber.
Sword. Yeah, he has that, and he's, you know, fighting, and then Blade comes in.
Because that's all he uses now. He doesn't even use his spider stuff anymore. It's just a stupid sword.
And he says, you know, I got something you need to do to Miles. Miles ends up, and Miles, he ends up getting, you know, the Spidey sense. It actually goes off when Blade's coming, which might be a little bit of a wink-wink of what happens. But while the Avengers are fighting, you have Blade calling out to the Avengers. He's in a truck, and he says, I need you to get me up to the Impossible City. And if you're not reading the Avengers, that's their living city in space that they end up being a part of. We'll get to that in a second. And he says, teleport me up. And when they do teleport him up, and, you know, vampires attacking, this is something everybody's going to think Blade. So, okay, what does Blade do? They even almost have the saying, what would Blade do in this? Well, when they end up going to this, you know, armored car, this truck that got teleported, that Blade was driving, when they open it up, out pop the bunch of jerk-offs. These jerk-offs coming out of here, I'm telling you, if you, it's just, if you go and look at anything that Jed MacKay has done, he keeps having these groups like this. They keep coming out. They all pose off almost in the same exact way.
Yep.
At least before, though, they had little placards that would tell you who's who. I'm telling you right now, if we're supposed to know Psychic, Static, Megrim, Cruel, an unusual witch. I'm telling you, I Demacene, don't know these characters. What is
that? You're never going to remember eater. That name. Yeah,
and Smoke Eater. When we're doing this, even at that one point, they're like they're all yelling at each other. They're throwing barbed shit wire at guy. Each other. The one guy yells, "I don't care how much crematoria smoke you've huffed, Smoke Eater." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And this is where, again, I want to grab onto the story. In the first issue, you have to go Universal. You have to, and I'm not talking Universal as in cosmic. I'm talking Universal that everybody can go and Universal have some monsters. Fun and get in and say, all right, I know what's going on. These things showing up and everything that led to it, I have a feeling that there's going to be people who are reading it who think that these are characters from before, that they don't understand. Oh, are these something from before? And you wouldn't be that mistaken because this group is almost exactly like the Action Combine.
Yep.
The Twilight Court, these things, and these are the Blood Coven. I don't know what Jed MacKay's thing is with these kind of groups, but he keeps doing them. They keep feeling the same, and they make me roll my eyes. These are the type of villains that me and you did. We left the Avengers book. We're like,
they're so generic. It's not
they're
even funny.
They're trying to be too big while being very generic. I'll never remember the names, and maybe that's on me. And everybody can throw shit at me because of that. But seriously, this is not, and this is my biggest problem with Jed MacKay and why I think a lot of his stories do fail. It's because he is not very good at making villains. His villains aren't very good, and usually they get taken down. After a long struggle, they get taken down very easily, like the Structure, which we'll hear from later. In the Moon Knight book, a book everybody loved, the Structure, this Ponzi scheming vampire businessmen that end up getting taken down because they're having a big meeting, and Moon Knight blesses the water in the sprinklers of the building to then make them die. I mean, I'm like, really? And they're back? Seriously. So you have them attack, and of course they're going to beat up the Avengers. They're going to take them down. Because you need to have that big play in the first issue. But I didn't even get the individual fights between them meant nothing to me because I don't know these characters.
And we're supposed to believe or understand or whatever that these are vampires.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, they're saying.
They don't look like vampires I've seen before. I don't know what this is. The guy with the bloody mouth is, I can't look at him. He's disgusting.
Well, there's the one guy with like barbed wire. He's the barbed wire mummy. Like, that's the thing. When I see these, I'm just going to make up my own names. There's Prism Guy. You got Barbed Wire Mummy. You got whatever bloody mouth.
You got Benjamin Franklin vampire woman in the front.
Yeah,
there.
Really. There's old Ben Franklin. But Ben Franklin didn't wear clothes. So he was a little more clothed. But even then, when you end up seeing, I would love to say that that's Bloodstorm 1, but it's not because they're throwing shade at Bloodstorm 1, but just the guy, get some I don't know these characters. And how would I? and they're talking crap on each other, but they're not even, like, they're generally saying, they're in a group and one guy yells like, oh, take that name. And like, which one?
Where have they been hiding all this time?
In that truck. I guess maybe you could say they were in the dark forest. I don't know. But again, they just show up.
And they're super powerful, too.
And they take over the Impossible City. Yeah. And now they're taking down the Avengers.
Just
and
destroying them.
Yeah, and you're just going to have them. And Jed McKay's other thing that he has a hard-on for is the idea of each member of the Avengers having a
like
title,
a moniker.
Yeah. A moniker, yeah. Like a thing, you know, that's basically, oh, you're the icon. That would be Cap.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, Sam Wilson.
Character. The construct and,
yeah,
or
the
something.
Construct. Then the god, the thunder god.
Like the engineer.
You're doing this. And so when you're going through it, though, I'm sitting there. I'm like, I can't say that, oh, my God, I hope that this villain doesn't get near Captain Marvel because their powers. I don't know their powers. I don't know anything. And again, you can say, well, why would you? It's the first issue. You can set these things up. But what you're doing is making a team that I barely can tell who's who. And they just end up destroying the Avengers. Again, I think the thing they have to worry about or watch out for in something, especially when you're fighting the Avengers or the Justice League at DC, is going too big. You can't just have a team just come in and wipe them out, because then where do you go from there? But we'll see. But yeah, you end up where they take down the Avengers. I mean, at one point, it looks like a wooden stake goes through Thor's head.
Yep.
Right? And then yeah. T'Challa, he's going to end up trying to get out of there, but he ends up yelling to the Impossible City, okay, like, get us into a different dimension. And his whole plan would be, okay, we'll all leave, like, you know, we're sacrificing ourselves, so let's get these jerk offs out of here, let's get them in another dimension. But the Impossible City has been overtaken somehow, and then but can get the other characters out, like Sam Wilson. He gets teleported out
to get Sam out of there, because Sam's the reason everybody would care. But it's like, I don't know,
it's just so. And so when this is all going on, you then end up and that's the thing, that's T'Challa, I guess, because yeah. T'Challa's yelling that blade, so he's yelling get him out, he gets stabbed.
T'Challa sacrifices himself to save Captain America.
Yeah,
I guess
Captain America. And it does look like you get Vision is out of there, Tony's messed up, and maybe that's Captain Marvel. I'm looking at the thing where they the rest of them, but it looks like Thor and T'Challa, they're done.
I think Scarlet Witch is in that circle there.
Can't let anybody have the symbol. The symbol. Steve Rogers is on Earth like, what the hell am I? Like, really? Like, we got to
even Bucky,
share this.
Too. Bucky, the same
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, so, and in this, listen, T'Challa, they're vampires. Who cares what they what does care about a symbol? Like, no.
Well, that one vampire was freaking out because he didn't get him. I don't know why he cares so much.
Then you go and I'm looking at these vampires from up above as they're yelling. They're mad. Now the one has like 800 legs and arms.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, what the heck?
The spider monster
I'm
thing.
I'm looking now. I didn't even see that was one of them. I don't know what's going
that
on.
That white skin with the bloody hands. I don't like that.
Yeah, look at that thing. But yeah, they get away. Those, and that's the ragtag Avengers now that will need to join up with the Midnight Mission.
Yeah.
Dracula, it says, and Bloodline. But again, this doesn't feel, it just feels too much too soon without any setup to make me actually care. And all I can look at is multi-legged armed monstrosity. But then we go off to Bleecker Street. We go, and that's Sun Death, 1 hour, 23 minutes and 19 seconds, by the way. And you have Doctor Strange, and he's hovering around. He's got books going. I don't even want to know what that one thing is. Looks sexy. Him and Clea, yeah. They're desperately trying to figure out what they can do to, you know, pretty much get this dark force off of around the world. They have to do that. If you do that, you can then pretty much probably win because of the vampires. But instead of just that, though, he also is going to look up where there is the, you know, the Darkhold, and there is a spell that will kill all the vampires in all the world at once. But the big thing is that it is something that Wanda, Scarlet Witch, ended up swallowing.
Yeah, she ate it.
She ate it. She ate the Darkhold. So you can't do that. But Doctor Strange has figured out he's going to be able to do this. Just do it. Don't delay. Blade shows up. And again, Blade showing up in these things, it's like, oh, cool. Like, this is who we want to have show up, Blade. And he comes in, he's like, yeah, there's a vampire uprising. Hey, I can help out. I'm looking at things. But then he starts talking a lot of garbage.
Uh-huh.
And at this point, you run him through because you have to be able to
tell.
Yeah,
I mean, I figured out that's what he was doing pretty quickly.
He says, oh, yeah, vampire uprising. But you knew that. We've all tangled with vampires before, but this is different. This time they're organized. That is in bold, right? One big push to break humanity put the blood drinkers on top. So they're trying to figure out, okay, what do you mean by that? Organized. We go back to that structure. They were defeated by sprinklers. And we're going back to that as the big thing. And in my mind, Jed MacKay, what he's doing here, because this is a vampire story, he is just grabbing whatever vampire stuff he can that he had before. And that's one of them. We'll see what happens with, say, Reese and Soldier in the big, the Moon Knight, the Vengeance of the Moon Knight now. But in that, he says, they call themselves the Structure, a vampire cult that was spreading across the world before Moon Knight killed their leader. But they found a new leader. That's all it is. It's the Structure with a new leader. Then starts talking just nonsense. Antediluvian Atlantium rituals to detonate Dark Force users and turn them into portals to block out the sun. 2, global uprisings mobilizing legions of master maniacs across the globe. But again, it's the Structure. And who is the leader of it now? That's what Doctor Strange and Clea want to know. Who's leading them? Oh my God, do you know? And he's like, yeah, I know. It's me. And then stabs Doctor Strange through with his sword. And here's the thing. In the Blade story that just ended last week that not many people are reading, he did get the blood of Dracula. He's able to use the powers of Dracula. But in that last issue, number 10, if you want to go look, it came out last week, he was losing his grip. His eyes were turning red, and he was getting very violent. And even you had the characters in the book even worried. Oh my God, do you think he's okay? Do you think he's okay? And he snapped out of it. Then it happened again. And he says, and then he snaps out of it again. So I believe it'll be either like he's leading a double life kind of deal. He doesn't realize that's happening, but he's also doing this. I don't know, but his eyes turn red and he runs through Dr. Strange because Dr. Strange was going to do that spell to kill all the vampires. And Blade said, but you know, vampires. You like the vampires.
You like me.
I'm the Daywalkers. And Doctor Strange, to get to the point of trying to, make us believe he would do that, didn't even feel like Doctor Strange when he's like, yeah, well, I'm a surgeon and I'll cut off a limb to get rid of that. I'm like, no, I don't think that you would kill anybody that you know is good just to do this. You would try to figure out something else, but you have to push this. And so what we get here, in what at least looks like in this, is the death of Doctor Strange Part 2. Another Jed MacKay story.
Why
that not many people read. So it's a Jed MacKay deal. If you're into that, I think you'll love it. It's tying in a lot of those things. But if you're just somebody who was reading Spider-Man and like, oh, well, Spider-Man's going to tie in. This is the event. Let me check it out. I don't know. I don't know if you're going to be into this, understand it. I was not really that excited by the end. The idea of this blood coven just made me roll my eyes. The idea of Blade being taken over, but there's a master above them to try to figure out, I'm really not that interested. And yet, I don't know when I would become interested. But in the meantime, I'm not going to buy 6 tie-ins next week without being invested in it yet. I need more issues. And this didn't do it for me. This was not that exciting a start. I thought it was a little bit convoluted.
Yep.
A little bit confusing and kind of boring, but what would you give it?
I'd say this. I really like Pepe Larraz a lot. He had to deal with a lot of crazy characterizations by Jed MacKay to create these villains, and it's still a fail. I'd give it a 6.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go 6. I'm going to be positive.
And it's mostly art.
I like the art for the most, and I say it's boring, and it's weird to say that because it is action-packed. I mean,
there's so much action,
but it might be too much. There's not a lot of explanation. You really never get your footing, and it just happens. All of a sudden, the world, within a page, the world is enveloped in Dark Force, vampires attack, and then we get this other crazy group of what might be, you even said, not even really spelling out that they're vampires per se, but we can assume. You end up having all this stuff going on and taking out half the event. We don't even realize they're gone before they are.
I guess what it really comes down to for me is the Avengers. I don't like this team, or I can't really wrap my head around. I don't like the team, or I don't like how they come together. I don't like how they work together. It just There's no, I don't kinda, like them.
It's generic.
Yeah.
To me, it's very, because he goes too big all the time, I just don't get a connection with them. And when you're fighting these other things that we don't know, I can't sit there. Like, I can't say, oh my God, I hope Captain Marvel survives fighting that thing that looks like barbed wire. Like, that doesn't do it. Mm-mm. Doesn't do it. You should introduce these villains a bit more before you have them take down a bunch of the Avengers. And take them down, it looks like they straight up kill them.
And do you think you would have liked this better if you hadn't been spoiled by the Blood Coven reveal a couple months ago? I you know what I mean? Sometimes that plays into it, because we saw this. I remember we were making fun of it before, rolling our eyes then. Yeah.
I mean, maybe you should have spoiled a little more and give me some
info. Yeah, I think they maybe should have shown up in some of the books.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess they were in that truck. They were, hauling ass down Route 63. I don't know, 69, dude. I don't know. I just don't know. And it just seems like it's like just happening to happen. But that's that. But I hope it gets better, but we'll see. But I'm already like, all right, if this was really, really good, then I might try to figure out a way. Oh, we got to get all these tie-ins. Like, oh my goodness. But that ain't happening. So we'll see. We're just going to follow the books that we normally follow. But we're both six. That's trying to be positive. Yeah. But we'll move on. The next book that I thought was going to be pretty fun. Yeah, I think looks were deceiving here. We have, what is the next book? Deadpool, Wolverine, World War III, number one, written by Joe Kelly, Adam Kubert on art, Frank Martin on colors, VC's Joe Sabino on letters. There's a thing in this. I'm not sure if it's because of our review copies or if it's something, but the way that it was presented to us, these pages that begin it are full pages, but they're only one page vertical. And it's the most annoying thing if you have a tablet. I'm telling you, it was so annoying.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out how to manipulate it to see it properly.
I had to lock my screen.
Yeah, I don't like this. Lock.
And it's basically Wolverine going around doing things. I don't know. I'm almost ready to throw my hands up and call it a week. This book, after the blood, at least I understood Blood Hunt. You know, I knew what was going on. I just think it wasn't for me. I get into this book and I was excited because it is just a Wolverine Deadpool book. You don't have to do anything with it except have some fun, have some gore, have some good art, which there's great art in this. And most of my score will be art. But you ended up reading it. You sent me a message and said, I don't know what happened in this book. And I thought, well, I'm going to crack the code. I'm going to tell you exactly what.
Yeah, I figured
exactly
you could crack it and let
me know. I'm like, I'm going to read it and I'm going to sit there and I'm going to blow your mind when we get on. And I read it and wrote back to you, I don't know what the hell I just read. I mean, I really don't. I don't know what the story is in this. You still can have fun with it, with the various onomatopoeia, the crazy kills, the great art, and not much more, because you end up having a story where I'm going to try to glean the story where Deadpool, he is trying to take out a bounty on a serial killer, which also Wolverine gets involved with. They're in Canada. You get a bunch of Tim Horton jokes.
Oh, man, a lot.
They show up to fight this serial killer together, but the serial killer at points, I was thinking that it was somebody we should know. Then I thought it wasn't. Then I was yelling, what are you yelling about your summer?
Why is he saying, I want my summer?
I think
once
I
read that.
My summer too. Right?
I read that. I'm like, I'm cashed, checked out. I don't know what this guy's doing.
He's yelling it because he's in like Moose Jaw, Canada. They ain't got no summer. It's one of those. It's cold out.
Where Rocky lives.
Yeah. So you end up where even then at one point you have Deadpool and they seemingly are floating in the air because possibly this guy's powers, but he's a serial killer. But then everything's falling apart. And then Wolverine kind of jumps in, but he gets blasted by this purple lightning of stuff. But that doesn't do anything. And then you have, the one page where you have pretty much a double page deal. And it's Wolverine going at this guy with Deadpool throwing knives and shooting is one of the best panels that I've seen in a while.
It really is some of the best art I've seen all year.
It's so good. It's great.
It's awesome.
Why? Why is this? I guess it's what. Now, again, a lot of people, they like Joe Kelly. Me and you got into fights with a lot of people. And I actually remember one of the guys, just ripped us apart because of that nonstop Spider-Man that was such garbage. That book where I remember where it was like every concept changed within pages where it's, oh, there's a drug targeting minorities, but then the two people we saw dead were white, and then you did this, and then you did, and everything got swirled around in that play of really bad references. It was so bad.
Isn't that what this is then? Nonstop Wolverine
and
Deadpool?
That's what I'm thinking. The thing is, then you had that Savage one when he turned into an actual spider. This feels like it should just be called Nonstop Wolverine and Spider-Man, or Spider-Man Deadpool.
Yeah.
That's all it is. There's no not even time to get a breath. There's no time to even understand the story. And I don't think Joe Kelly cares. He's just going to have quips. He's going to have things. And you can tell there's something there. I just don't know what it is, because they end up then slicing this guy up.
Diabolical double dissection, dude. He goes down pretty hard. I mean, they slice him pretty good.
Yeah, they slice him pretty good. At the point, you also have like chicken fight Deadpool. Like, everything looks great. But they end up slicing this guy, who then says, these wasted gifts, I use them, but I wasn't real either. And then falls into like seven parts. And I'm like, that's the opening, like cold open. That is frigid. That's why he's yelling, I need summer. Because you got to heat shit up here.
I mean, they're words. I see them, but I don't understand them.
I did not know what's going on. And please, I don't consider us the smartest of fellas. We usually can get an idea. I had no idea. Every word that was added to this, it got worse and worse. Like, I was drowning in word bubbles because I didn't understand any of them. So then they get done. And later they're like, hey, drinks at my place. It's at. It's above the Slim Norton's and a Sky B&B. It smells like diabetes and desperation. And then he goes off. Wolverine then ends up going, getting his own drink, and then decides that he needs to go see Deadpool, but it's above a Slim Norton's, the Tim Norton deal. And the joke is there's 8 million of those. So he says, is there a Slim Norton's near? Oh, yeah, only about so 10 feet.
When he calls
Wolverine a tourist, Wolverine should have went schnick right up in that guy's face. Like, why would this guy? So then you even have a thing going through this of this idea of, I have a phone, but it only gets called with this. Then he ends up finding Wolverine or Deadpool's phone. He finally finds his apartment, but then finds a phone that was a burner phone, but it wasn't burned and it was thrown away. He ends up, I think it was Forge, ends up breaking it. They end up tracking Deadpool to Russia.
Deadpool's at an Airbnb, but it looks like it's all tricked out with Deadpool stuff.
Thinking that all this is just bullshit. But you end up where he finds this phone. He's able to track the last call was to Russia. So Wolverine goes off to Russia. He goes into, like you said, now a castle that is this other place that he's gone to. He's booked this other place, and that's where it is tricked out as Deadpool. I don't get it. And then all of a sudden, Black Ops guys smash through the skyline to then. And I thought you meant the B&B, the first one in freaking New York. Now all of a sudden, cybernetic soldiers are fighting Wolverine. We don't know what's going on. They're there. And so then, I'm not making this up. Wolverine then fights through these guys, cyborgs, whatever they may be. He ends up destroying them. To then have an old guy show
who is this
up,
Alter Cocker,
walk down the hallway with a cane and say, this is for you. I love your performance. I always wanted to see you. I believe that Wolverine kills him.
Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah, he kills this poor old guy and he gets an envelope that then might, I don't know.
It's like an invitation to somewhere.
Yeah, an invitation to another place. That then Wolverine goes on his three-wheeler eating donuts through Siberia, shows up at this place all beat up, and it looks like a big premiere. He goes in. He says to one lady who wants to, you know, check him in or whatever, says, you're going to be unemployed soon because I'm going to kill everybody. And then goes in, and everybody's toasting him. And then he comes out, and then there's Deadpool. In like a Weapon X weird.
I thought he looked like Ant-Man to me.
Yeah, he looks like Ant-Man, but I'm saying like the helmet.
Yeah, no.
But he seems to be controlled a bit. And now he's going to fight Wolverine. Looks great. They're fighting. They're trash talking. And Deadpool's talking like a cybernetic deal of, you know, at one point even says, you know, almost like, help me. I do this thing. And I don't know.
Everybody's clapping and carrying on. They love it. They're wearing weird glasses.
Bloodsport. They're wearing Jose Canseco glasses. They don't even know what's going on here. And they might be VR glasses. I don't know. They're all there. And it's all bloody.
Look at that last page. How amazing that is.
And the big thing was, is that at one point Deadpool said, you know, once a villain, hero, X-Men, whatever, third time's a charm. And then at the end, there's the big thing. Can you explain this third time's a charm? I'm like, you're asking me. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. But it looks great. It ends then with them like maybe are they falling into a cavern? Or are they doing it? I don't know. I don't know. Something opens and it looks like they're falling down into an abyss. The end. Be continued, it says. I was so confused. If there's anybody that can make hide or hair of any of the story, please tell me. Now, I'm guessing that most people are going to tell me that it's not about the story. It's about just getting the action. It's about the fun. I can go with that. And I could actually say that the art elevates it immensely. It's such good art.
Yeah.
But I need some story. There's always the talk of, do you need a good story or good art? Well, obviously you want both. But this just showed, like, I read it. I don't know why I even bothered with the words.
The way you just described it was all the action points.
And I don't even know if we were right. I think that I don't know what
right
happened in between things and what is going on and the Tim Horton jokes. Hey, yeah, guys. And I'll tell you, it's not overly jokey either. It's more violent than jokey. And at one point, you got a pouch joke, a little foot joke. But I don't know what happened from that serial killer beginning to then
that
go
really threw
to
it off
Russia and then have this Eyes Wide Shut Court of the Owls nonsense. I don't know. It's like this big court of nonsense and turning the pages all over the place. Nonstop annoying. That's what it was. But what would you give it?
All right. So seeing Adam Kubert pop up is always a treat. I think he doesn't do enough interiors. And when he does do them, they usually are really good. And then Frank Martin is also the great colorist to partner with. But I would give it a 10 out of 10 for art.
Yeah. Art, it's a perfect score.
Perfect 10. You can't get better than this. You really can't. I can't stress that enough.
We don't rate the things of 5 for art, 5 for deal. We kind of get an idea in our mind and then give a score that's kind of a gut feeling score.
10 out of 10 for art, but overall I'm giving this thing a 5. So you do the math there.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. The story is so non-existent that it even, I'm telling you, at one point I'm looking at that one panel. Also, they get the perspective of Wolverine. He's a little guy.
Oh, he's real short, like 5 feet or less.
This old man walking down the hallway. Even seeing it from the perspective of kind of right behind Wolverine's fist.
He's dripping blood.
And the dripping blood off of those claws as you see the guy coming out, it's incredible. And he's clapping.
The perspectives and everything are great.
I have a feeling that some people are like, this guy, just this scene. He comes out and he says, oh my God, have you ever been to the Bolshoi? Mr. Logan saying he's almost like a ballet dancer the way he kills. And he's like, club-footed miscreants compared to you. Your performance exceeded expectations. Performance? What else one call art in motion? And then he kills him. I don't know what happened. I don't know.
I mean, you got to kill him. He's talking about the...
I guess.
He's talking about ballet.
He's just an old guy with his cane. Like, it's so crazy. Well, and at that point, Wolverine's yelling, what game is Deadpool playing? At that point, I think I thought, like, is he playing?
Deadpool's not playing anything. He's being controlled. He's good.
The art
is... it's wasted. I hate to use that word, but it really is on this. It really is.
I'd love to ask Joe Kelly what he was on when he did this. And actually, I'd like to ask him so I could tell him never to do it again when he's writing.
I mean, the title is World War III, whatever that means. Will we find out?
Who knows? I'm sure that's just there because the 3 looks like Wolverine slash the page. That's all it is. All right, that's it for that. We're going to move on to the next book. And if you're worried that maybe we didn't like anything this week, we actually did. And it might be, I think you liked it a little more than me, but we'll go to the next book. Get Fury number one. I think we already got Fury from the other things that we've done this week. But Get Fury number one is written by Garth Ennis, pencils by Jason Burroughs, inks by Guillermo Ortego, colors by Nolan Woodard, and letters by Rob Steen. And you said there was supposed to be a different artist on it.
Yeah, I thought it was.
But here we go. And the art's not bad.
No.
It actually has, I don't know, it's happened a bunch of times that at points it looked like it has like an Allred look to it. Even like this dog that shows up and things like that. But I think it's okay. This is the return of the Max Comics imprint, and it is very adult.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be mature while we're talking about this. There's a lot of cursing and something by the end that I didn't think we would see.
Oh, you saw it. Now you can't forget it.
And that's the thing. Before that, we see a man being buried alive, and that is nothing compared
to
what we get.
That's pretty horrific.
By the end. But this is a back in the day deal where we're going to go back and find out a little tale of when Frank Castle had to take care of Colonel Fury, of Nick Fury. And in that, it kind of has a start with a Vietnamese fellow that you said, and this is some of the things in this are going to be stuff that are kind of deep dives and stuff.
Yeah, a lot of this is. And I read it all. I just don't remember. But this guy, Latrong Diep, is definitely a character from before.
You're going to have, if you are, you know, a fan of the Max stuff and even the War General stuff and things like that, I think that there's going to be some times that I didn't quite get. I still liked it. The thing is, I don't know. I expected more of Rambo than, you know, Apocalypse Now is where I was coming from.
It is more Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, it's right. Very much like that. Yeah. And so when you get into it, I think I had to get the lay of the land at a point. And by the time I got the lay of the land, I saw horrific things and it was over, but I was intrigued to go on. But I think that you, with the background and maybe even knowing because of that what this would be more about, I think that you were more in tune with how this was going to go down. It just took me some adjusting. But you do have Frank Castle, who is in the army, and they are in the Vietnam. And you have this start where a bunch of MPs come up. Frank's there. He's got a skull. They're concerned that he has body parts. You're not allowed to do that. And then end up saying that they're going through all of the camps and they have to get rid of any dogs. They're afraid that all these dogs, any dog could be rabid. This is the whole
rabies outbreak.
Yeah, there's a rabies outbreak like in Feral, the indie book. But they end up where guy comes out and he has a dog. And the dog is the cutest little dog.
It is so cute.
Right? It's like a little lassie. And he comes out and he says, yeah, you know, and almost the play of no dogs here. He's holding a dog.
Yeah, he's holding the dog. Like, no dogs here. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, basically. And really looks like I would not mess with them. But then they're like, are you effing serious? Oh, man, come on. You got to do this. They keep going on. And they're yelling at Frank. They're yelling at this. And at one point, I mean, it's kind of a hard-hitting deal where you have this guy say, and the dog's name is Sammy, says, Sammy is the only thing that I love here in Vietnam.
Yep.
And Sammy's also the only thing in Vietnam that loves me. You ain't taken, because if you come and do it. You come and get Sammy, I get you. And then just turns around and walks away. And these poor guys, they're talking a big game, but what are they going to do? I mean, they're not going to. So they kind of just like, and they don't know what to do. And then you have a Jeep pull up and the idea that Frank needs to go and talk to the major. And even then, these guys then are kind of like, they even ask Frank, are you going to, you can press charges. You can actually do charges, you know, for what happened. And he's like, no, it's fine. And goes on. It was a very odd beginning.
Well, Frank is just chilling, too, on the top. He's just taking notes or reading letters or whatever. And there, these military police are like, are you going to reprimand this guy? Like, he's not letting us take the dog. And Frank's just like ignoring him.
Yeah, he's like, nope, it's not happening. And yeah, it says, as you were, we're not getting into this. There's no dog. Don't worry about
just,
it.
Just leave.
Yeah. And it is one of the things. I mean, they're there in Vietnam. And it's like, is this what
just
we're going to
have
problems with?
Just let me have my one thing that I'm happy about, please.
Frank likes the skull. Yeah. And, you know, the guy likes the dog. So yeah, you go on with that. Yeah. And it, again, it is the, you know, what's the big deal here? we're on the same side.
Yeah, at this point, Frank's been there like three or four tours of duty, so he's over all that stuff.
Yeah, this nonsense. Yeah. This is just like paperwork nonsense, pretty much. But he gets called to the majors, and when you do go there, you then see what happened. You get the idea that this would be Fury when a battalion, they end up getting captured, and it's Fury's men. But then that's explained more when Frank gets this mission. But when he gets it, it isn't just, hey, we need you to save, you know, Nick Fury. It's, we have to take him out. He is, at this point, he is an asset that's been stolen by the Viet Cong. And they go through a bunch of the different factions and who it might be and what's going to happen. But Nick Fury knows too much that if he ends up, and they say it's not if he gets tortured, he will be tortured. And they'll do such horrible things. They will get stuff from him. And this stuff can't happen. And you have Frank realizes what's going on. He's like, you want me to kill him. You want me to kill Nick Fury. This isn't a rescue mission. He is going to get near where Nick Fury is, and he's going to have to shoot him through the head. And that's pretty much the deal, because he's the best shot in these things going on. And again, it's realistic, I guess, you know. And Nick says, or actually Frank says, is there any way we can get him out alive? And there's like a, like almost like a thin little space that they might, but it doesn't seem like they think they'll be able to. And the play is, you have the major who's like, you know, he's a military guy, and you have these intelligence guys.
These two knuckleheads.
Yeah, and, you know, clean cut and shaven, like these jerks, these nerds. But that's the rules. That's the things going on.
They're not putting much stake in his training to, like, combat against the interrogation, though.
Yeah, they just think, and
You think he'd be just as good at that as anything else.
At points, they're saying, like, he's getting taken away. Like, he may end up in China. Like, when that happens, there's no way we can rescue.
I would say that of any character in the Marvel Universe, Nick Fury is the one that will not squeal, no matter the circumstances.
You just have to take care of it so you know.
Yeah.
You know, Nick's pretty smart, too, and knows how it's going. And from there, at this point, that's pretty much all we get of Frank Castle.
Mm-hmm.
That's the deal. And it's very quick move.
Yeah, you set up what he has to do and you move on.
And it is a slow build setup, but it works. You set yourself. And again, we just talked about in our podcast the idea of the Wolverine, you know, Deadpool book, where there's no setup at all, or even Blood Hunt this week. No setup. This actually does give you that scene that might feel like it's, you know, ambiguous with the door, but you get the play of Frank being there in Vietnam a while. He knows how things are. He knows how things work and just wants to get out of there. And that builds up to him getting that mission, and a mission that he probably doesn't want to take. He even says, isn't there any way to save him? I mean, I don't want to go kill one of our guys, but if it has to be done, it has to be done.
Well, at the same time, on the opposite side of that, Nick knows that that's about to happen to him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would imagine that Nick at some point might want it to happen instead of being, you know, tortured. But when they're going, you end up having them, you know, and they're walking them, marching them in the jungle.
They're not getting water.
They're not
tired.
Getting water. And one of the guys falls over.
Oh,
and
no.
he can't go any further because he's dehydrated, he's hurt, all these. And Nick is yelling at these guys, you know, you got to give him water, you got to do this. And it's a smart play. And you do have the setup where one of the other guys starts yelling too. And Nick says, don't yell at them. Like, I heard them mention my name. This is all of me. And they even explained to Frank Castle that their plane got shot down, they end up, and that's how they ended up getting taken. So he says, they're not going to do anything to me. That I'm the guy that they want. You guys don't mean anything.
You're here by the grace of
their
grace,
you're
basically
here just to be here. If you, they'll kill you.
Don't say one word.
Yeah, don't say anything. He, you know, Nick can say stuff, and they are trying to get this guy to get at least some water, and he's desperately trying to get this Williams up. Williams, get up, just stand up, because the minute that he is a nuisance like this, he's done. I kind of think they just put a bullet in his head, but they end up, you know, I guess maybe you don't want to make any noise like that, but he ends up, they dig a hole and throw him in and bury him alive. And that's where this other guy freaks out, and he's like, oh, you animals, you, and Nick's telling him, don't stop. Like,
yeah, he said some good lines here. He said, to this kid, remember what I told you, this'll be what it'll be. So basically, no matter what you say or what you do, it's happening.
Yeah, yeah. You can yell and scream. There's no getting out of this. And if you want to be just like that, then start. But don't. This is what's
going to
happen.
And then he says, it is going to happen. This is not a goddamn John Wayne movie.
Yeah, yeah. And the kid gets buried alive. And he is grunting and groaning as he's being buried alive. He can barely, get up.
Yeah, I mean, he was injured before. But.
Yeah, so, and you see the guy, he's not too happy.
No.
But that's where he starts really yelling.
Mouthing off. He's like,
no, 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 you're not going to do this to him. He's a man, you MFers. You can't just put him in the hole like this. He was nothing. And you just see as these the guy's just getting buried, buried, buried. And he just keeps yelling. And he's like, savage, effing savages. And they come up behind him with
just
a machete.
Just real casually behind him. Look at that.
Oh, my God. They cut off half his face. And it's just like, oh, my God. It's
and
disgusting.
Enough where you will die, but like, it's
slow. But it's
going to
take a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even then, I mean,
And then they just start stabbing him.
Yeah. Yeah. Then he's done. I actually thought they were going to make him like that to even have Nick Fury have to walk around with this guy or whatnot.
Horrifically stab him.
They just go and just take him out. And again, Nick Fury, who already said, like, they're not going to do anything to him. He seems to be the asset. He knows why he's the asset, obviously. But he can't do anything about this. And so he's like, you poor prick. And then one of the other soldiers yells for him to get up. One of the Viet Cong to get up, and he's just got to do what he's got to do. It's vicious.
It's a difficult thing to reconcile when you really lose control of a situation and you can't do anything about it. I think they portrayed that pretty well here.
Yeah, and again, this is a very mature deal. It's very violent. It's shocking. But what I like by the end, and again, I said at the beginning, I thought it was more Rambo. I thought, okay, Frank's going to be just going through with a flamethrower through there.
He'll get to that.
Maybe. But in this, you get that play of Nick Fury, who knows what's happening, knows what's going to happen to him. And at the end, I think you might get to the point, because the goofy thing of it is to say, I wonder if Frank's going to kill him. It might get to a point where we say, I think that Frank should kill him. Like, it gets so bad that maybe the better way out at that point might seem to be Frank doing that, or maybe Frank gets in trouble. And I think that plays out by the end, especially how you see Nick. It's not even like he's hardened to the point where this doesn't matter. He looks upset. And then when he goes for it now, but then he looks determined when they tell him to get up. But again, what is he going to do? He's got to wait for his time. And that's what he even said to the guy who ended up getting machete, the idea. You can't just yell. There may be a time, we got to wait for all that, but don't just start yelling. And now two of the guys he was with are done, and there he is. So we'll have to see how it goes. But it is
pretty ruthless.
It's shocking and ruthless. What would you give it?
I've appreciated this Garth Ennis Vietnam era and anything else he does with Punisher. So I'd give it an 8.5. I really like it.
Yeah, I think I was way lower. You were an 8 at first, and now we talk
about
8.5. And I think I'm up to an 8.
Yeah.
And as it was going in the art, and again, seeing the lay of the land and seeing where I was just looking for straight up action and looking for more of Frank Castle.
Yeah. It's,
you know what I mean?
It's Full Metal Jacket type.
Yeah.
It's more introspective. You got to think Apocalypse Now. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not Rambo.
No.
It's not that. So, it was pretty good. And I think that people who are looking for something historical but mature, and with these characters, you don't get a lot of Frank Castle, so you have him here, but in that military deal, and it's more of setting the scene with Nick Fury. I think, like I said, by the end, I think that the big twist will be, is there going to be a point where we kind of hope or wish that Nick isn't going through what he's going through, and maybe it would be easier for him to just off it, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes, but that is it for that, and that's it for the podcast. That is it for the three books. It's a little rough start for the Blood Hunt. And that, are we going to talk about that Wolverine Deadpool book again? Are we done with that?
I think we're done.
Yeah, I think so too.
Depends on what comes out in the weeks, but
I guess. But here's what we could talk about next week. I'll give you some options. We have The Amazing Spider-Man number 49.
Yep.
We always talk about that. Blood Hunt tie-in, to get to that 50. And then when these things start happening, I start to realize that that Ben Reilly nonsense that we just had, that was just a placeholder to get to because you needed to do this blood hunt.
You're right.
Nonsense. Set up his own book. So we're saying we're doing that. Then we have Doctor Strange number 15. We've been talking about that, right?
Probably do that one, yeah.
It is a blood hunt tie-in as well.
Okay.
So we'll do that. And again, it's a Jed McKay book. And I think that how, except I'm going to say this, and we don't really read the Avengers, but the books that we've been doing normally we'll cover. But Doctor Strange should be a little bigger than what we've been getting the last couple issues because it is a tie-in. We also have something that me and you haven't talked about together, but I've done separately. And boy, it's coming out quick again. Daredevil 9. Maybe we'll see if we dip
into
that.
It's coming out again?
Yeah, that's what it says. I'm a Marvel site. Daredevil number 9. It is. It says washed in blood, but it's not a blood hunt tie-in. So okay. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. But we also have Spider-Man Shadow of the Green Goblin number 2.
We did
that
the first one.
Issue. We didn't love the narration, but maybe that will improve. And then the only other one is Deadpool number 2 that we could talk about. But
we might have to
not
give that
like
another
that
shot.
Cody Ziegler, but we should probably give it a second issue. Taskmaster shows up to help. Remember, Deadpool was going to make his own like vigilante group because he wanted to be like Agent Gal. Mm-hmm. You know, because everybody loves that Agent Gal. Yeah, Cody Ziegler. But yeah, we might check that out. So those are what we could possibly talk about. I told everybody, though, there are a bunch of Blood Hunt tie-ins. We'll have to see. We'll have to see what's going on. Blood Hunters number 1, Dracula Blood Hunt number 1.
Strange. One of those might be interesting. I don't know.
Blood Hunters is an anthology.
No, maybe the Draculas.
Dracula Blood Hunt number 1 is by Danny Lore, and it's more about the... Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Never mind.
Down the line. And then we end up having Strange Academy Blood Hunt, which might be interesting, but it's
we
not
like the Strange Academies.
But it's not by, you know, what's his name?
Yeah, it's not
Daniel
by him.
Older, who I believe might have been doing the things, and they haven't been doing.
If it's not the original creative team with the artists and writer, I don't
Scotty
want it.
Young and Umberto Ramos. Never so forget that, it. That's the deal. Oh, Umberto Ramos does the cover to trick everyone.
Yeah, classic
that's
trickery.
All it does, right? It's just trickery to get that. and I'm looking to see. I thought there were some other ones, but, you know, things that we don't deal with, like a Captain America and a Captain Marvel. Avengers obviously comes up, but that's a Blood Hunt tie-in. And
that's on the X-Men podcast last time I checked.
Yeah, not anymore. Another Blood Hunt. Maybe this is the time to get back. I don't know. Would it be the time to go back into it because of the Blood Hunt? I'm looking at the cover and it looks
maybe.
Like a... But there's actually Steve Rogers' cap on the cover.
It seems like it would be an integral tie-in.
Yeah. Looks like you got crazy Nazi zombie vampires or something there. I don't know what's going on, but it does seem like I was going to say at the beginning, not even just the books that we usually cover to tie, but maybe you just get the Jed McKay books. Maybe that'll be because if those don't matter, then nothing does because he's the one doing the event. But maybe we'll check that out. Yeah, here it says. With the current Avengers tied up and under siege during Blood Hunt.
Tied up. That's one good way of putting
yeah,
it.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Captain Marvel calls for aid. Who better to assemble a new team of Avengers than Steve Rogers? Captain America gathers the forces of Quicksilver, Hawkeye, but it isn't, what's his name?
Kate Bishop.
Hercules and Hazmat. Hazmat. I haven't seen Hazmat in a bit.
Who's Hazmat again?
Hazmat was, I believe, the girl from the Captain Marvel run, Kelly Thompson, where she had that crazy, like, she had that radiation suit on her.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying she created it. I think she might have.
I think I like Hazmat.
Yeah, I liked Hazmat a bit, and I like Hercules. I don't know. We'll have to see. We'll have to see how this goes. But we'll be talking about something. But that's that. That is it. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks for joining me as always, Matt, and yep. We will talk to you all later.
You are all weirdos.
Nerd science is the revolution. Nerd science is the revolution.